Okay, we spoke last week about tax evasion, and we introduced the issue of Dina de Malchusa Dina. And the way we came out, everyone agreed that the Malchus has a right to obligate its citizens to pay taxes. That's certainly Dina Malchusa Dina. The question was, how's that any different than any other obligation a person has to an Akum, where there's a rule that if there's no Chilul Hashem, he couldn't be Mafkia Lava and just not pay. So, from the Kesef Mishnah's Pshat in the Rambam, it seemed like he was saying Eino Chinami, but since it's a, it could lead to Sakonis Nefashis if people don't pay their taxes, so that's why they're chayav to pay. But then we saw from the Erev Shai and the Mishnah Melech Smacher that way also, that Din HaMalchusa is more far-reaching than Stam HaChov. The Din HaMalchusa makes it like the Malchus already has that money, it's considered theirs, and to not pay is like taking something from them that they already deserve. That's the way the Erev Shai learned the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama seemed to disagree with it. Parshat and the Rama, he disagreed, and he said that there is Havkalas Havol, even though it's usher to do, for whatever reason, there's still Havkalas Havol would apply after the fact. However, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav Paskin, that we should, he said we should be machmir like the Shulchan Aruch, because it's a Sapik D'Araisa. And what we concluded with last week was, if we're talking about getting a refund, to do something that would cause the government to give a bigger refund than we deserve, that would certainly be also according to everyone, because that's not Havkalas Halvah. That's how Toya's Akum, where you're tricking them into giving you a bigger refund than you're entitled to. So that's what we left with last week. This week I just wanted to get into, like, what is the, what's the svara behind Dina de Malchusa Dina? We hear about it all the time. When does Dina de Malchusa Dina apply? When does it not apply? It's a big sugya. We'll just touch upon it this week and get the main thoughts from it and try to see some cases. The one case that we'll talk about, that if there is such a concept according to secular law of a bankruptcy and a person owed a lot of money from his business or from his personal loans, personal debts, and he declared bankruptcy, which according to Dina Malchusa, all his outstanding debts are canceled. Is that a valid reason for him not to pay his various creditors, since he does owe them up Dinei Torah? How does Dina Malchusa work over there in such a case? So first let's see the svaras. Why Dina de Malchusa Dina? Why should it be that if a king says something, it should make a difference? So we have different svaras from the Rishonim. I have on the second side of the handout. The Rashbam in Bava Basra says, Kol Matzim V'Arnunios, all taxes, different types of taxes, women hugish on mishpatim alachim, and different customs that the kings have, Shirigilim Lahanig V'Malchusam, that they generally act upon in their kingdom. Dinahu, that has the force of a halacha, shekol b'nei ha-malchus mekablam alayam, mirtonim. And the reason is, because all the people that live in a kingdom accept upon themselves on their own volition, chukei ha-melech mishpatav, his laws and his judgments. Therefore, the Rashbam says, din gomarhu, this is a real din, vein l'machli b'vam en chareira, pichok ha-melech, Hanog be here. And so if someone has money that according to the secular law it belongs to him, if he has the property, he's holding on to the property that according to secular law belongs to him, there's no problem Yishum Gezel. They're talking about he made a chazaka, which would according to the Malchus worked. But a simpler case, a more common case, we might talk about it more in the future, is that suppose the government confiscated property of a certain individual for some reason. He wasn't paying his taxes, or he did something illegal and he ran away, and they took his property away for auction. So that property is permitted for you to take, because the government didn't the Malchusa didn't. They have a right to take this property, and if someone takes, fits in the lesson of the Rashbam, even though he's not talking about that exact case, but he says, if you're machzik b'mamen chaveiro, you're taking hold of mamen chaveiro pichok hamelech, through the halacha of the king, that's not, there's no gezel in that. So that's the Rashbam Svara. The Rashbam Svara is that since everyone, it's like a minig, since everyone is mekabel, whatever the king says, to follow those rules, that makes it dindam, that makes it like a minig, and therefore we follow that. That's the Rashbam Svara.
This is minig amakam?
It's almost like minig amakam. The Rambam wants to say, well, it's more than that, but let's just learn, Pasha, that it becomes like a minig amakam. We'll see, even according to that reading, it's not going to end up that way, but that's the way to say it. It's people are mekabel what the Melech says. The Ran says, this is the first half of the Ran, we'll see the second half, the famous second half at the end. The Ran says, Mimnei she'aretz shelo. You say dinah mechusa dinah, because the king owns the land. V'yochol lomer lehem, and he's able to say, Yimosasa misosa, if you don't keep my mitzvahs, that garish is chem in arts, I'm going to chase you out. You're allowed to stay in my land on the condition you follow my laws. Like if I have a house, and I say, you can stay in my house as long as you, you know, stay as long as you behave. If you don't keep my rules in my house, then I want you to leave. So the king owns the whole land, and he says, I'm letting you stay here on the condition that you follow the rules. So that's the Ran Svara. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that it's a din of Hefker, Dves, and Hefker. The way the Varam explains it is that why is Hefker, Dves, and Hefker work by a Bezdin? A Bezdin works, it's not because it's a halacha, the Moshe Mishinai, it's because he learns that anyone that has authority, any body of authority has the ability to take away property of another individual and say that you don't deserve it. That's why it works by a bezdin, and just like it works by a bezdin, it'll work by a government, a king, who also is in control of his subjects, and he has the right to say hefker, bezdin, hefker. That's the way the Rishonim talk. Now, based on that, we can hear why the Kaviyas Vara, like we said last week with the taxes. It could be that the king is saying, look, I'm letting you stay in my land as long as you keep the rules. And one of the rules is you have to pay for it. Like, I let you come into my amusement park if you pay the admission when you come in. You can stay in my land as long as you pay the taxes. So just like we said that to lie and say that, you know, your child is 12 when he's really 14 to get a cheaper price to get into admission into the amusement park, that would be Gezel or Hatoya Sakum, because when you're in that, you have no right to go into the amusement park under the false pretenses. That's not of Kosovo. You're in his property when he doesn't want you to be there. So same thing, the king says, I don't want you in my land if you're not keeping the rules. And one of the rules is to pay the taxes. And if you don't pay the taxes, you can't stay here. That would be maybe a svara, why Dina Mechusa is more far-reaching than Stama Halva, that you owe another Akum. So those are the svaras of Dina Mechusa. So the question is, now how far it goes and where it applies. So those are the two topics we'll talk about. Well, let's see, first see a Gemara, and we'll see the way the Rishonim approaches this Gemara. Gittin, the Mishnah of Gittin says like this, Yod on the days, Kol Ashtaras Ha'olim Bar, Kol Ashtaras Ha'olim, any document that's processed by a court of idolaters, a secular court, Apavisha Chosmeim of the Kechalim, even though there were Akums who signed the documents, Kishayim, they're still valid. Chutz Mikidei Noshim Shechuri Avadim, except for a get to divorce a woman, or a similar document that lets a slave go free. But to say that Reuven sold his field to Shimon, and it's signed in a court of Akum, signed by Akum, that's a valid get, that's a valid shtar, it's a valid document. So Gemara says, Kol Pasuk V'Tanya, when the Mishnah says that any, it says Kol Ashtaras, all documents are kosher. So it's Mashna Loshna Mecher. There's no difference whether it's a document or shtar for a sale, Loshna Matana, or if it's a document to prove that a gift was given. Either case, we say that it's a good document. So Bishlam Mecher, I understand why a Mecher will be a good shtar. Michi Yoiv Zuzikamayi. That's because what made the kinyan over there? The kinyan was when the buyer gave the seller the money. So that made the kinyan. That's when he acquired it. In that case, the shtar is just to prove, to be evidence that he really purchased the property, and that's why it's okay. Why? Because the why is it a good raya? If he hadn't really given him the money, they wouldn't have ruined their reputations. The custom of the shtar, right? The shtar is something that that could be found out later. They could say, look, prove, and it's not the hilmitz, it was really a phony thing. They're not going to put their names on something that's phony. So that we understand why we can use their document as a proof that the sale took place. But, Ella, Matana, but how about a gift? There, a gift, no money changes hand. So, B'mai Kokani, how's the kinyan take place? La b'hai shtar, isn't it that the shtar is a star kinyan? It makes the star makes the kinyan. But how can a star make it? Because one of the ways to acquire property is through star. But high star, but this star is just a piece of pottery. It's a broken piece of pottery. It's just worth nothing. So how can the kinyan be chal with a star written by and signed by an akum? So Gemara says, Amar Shmuel. Oh, it'll work because dina malchus adina. We learned that there's a rule that the law of the king is valid; it's binding. So dina malchus adina will allow this star kinyan, of the matana to take effect. V'iba yisema, or the Gemara says tini. What the Mishnah means is chutz michigit einashim. When the Mishnah says that a star, when the Mishnah excludes some documents written by Akum, and it says chutz migitei nashim, it doesn't just mean a divorce document. What's the nature of a divorce document? There, the nature is that that shtar makes a chalos. The shtar does something. The shtar effects the divorce. So, same thing. Any document that is effecting some transaction, whether a divorce transaction, the emancipation of a slave, or a transfer of property from a giver to the recipient. So any transaction, any shtar that's making a transaction won't be valid in a if it was made by a secular court by an akum. Right? That's the two lashon. The two lashonis of the Gemara are that according to Shmuel, it works. Din of the Mokhos, the Din of helps that even a document that's going to effect a transfer, that will work as Din of Mokhosa Dina. According to the second Lashon of the Gemara, the second Teret says, no, it won't work. And we have Shon in the Mishnah. The Mishnah means to exclude those types of stars also. Now the question though is, first of all, most Rishonim say that most Poskim, most of the Gaonim, all pass like the second Lashon of the Gemara. That a star kinyan that was made in a court of an akum is not valid. But why isn't it valid? What happened to dina demachus adina? Why? What's wrong with Shmuel's pshat? Shmuel said that dina demachus adina applies even in the case of a star that's going to make a kinyan. So why does the Ibai say, why is the second lashon of the Gemara disagree? So the Magen Mishnah says like this. He says, hinei das rov ha-gaonim zal, the Rabbeinu, the opinion of most Gaonim and the Rambam is Lifsak Lashon HaAcharon. It's the pasuk like the second Lashon in the Gemara, Shama, where it says Tini Chutz Michigit Einashim. The Mishnah is saying it's always out except something like a get nashim, meaning that you can't use a secular document to effect a kinyan of a gift. Dafagad the Kaimel and Dinah Mechus Adina. We do have a rule. Shmuel is right. We do have a rule, dino demachusa dino. Hani mili b'mashehu toelos l'melech. That is limited to when the king gets some benefit from it. Dinyani hamasim shalo, that he's getting his taxes. B'mashehu meichuka, something that's going to help him. Avidvarim shevein adam lechaveiru, but something between two individuals, ain dino behem din. In that case, there's no such thing as dino demachusa dino. Rabbi Magid says that from this Gemara we learn that dina machusa is limited to something that helps the king. Like we learned last week, all the sugis were talking about getting taxes, right? That's his right that he says, you want to live in my land, you have to pay me for it, you have to get to this, in the amusement park, you have to pay admission, to get to the museum, you have to pay admission. If you don't pay the proper admission, you can't stay here. So same thing, to live in my land, you have to pay the admission, you have to pay the taxes to me. No, what you do between Reuven and Shimon, I don't care about that. I might have some laws, I might have some court system set up to help people do things, but with what you do between the two of you, that's your own business, and my laws aren't binding on you in that case. That's what the Nag Mishnah learns from the second lesson of the Gemara. The Rashba disagrees, the Rashba and Ramban, others don't disagree. They say that really there's no machlokus between the two Lashonis. The second Lashon agree, you always say Dina Mechusadina in all cases. Dina Mechusadina applies whether it's good for the good of the king, or just a stama law that he made for his country. You always say Dina Mechusadina. Why is it that the second Lashon says, you're right, you exclude, it's Mechik Gilek the Lashon, because it's talking where a court is talking about a court that didn't have that authority to paskin shailas for the king, and that's why it doesn't work in such a case. It's only been his lashon is the plea. Shmuel hecha the ikol herman demalka. Shmuel was talking in a case where the court had authority. If the court has authority in that case, their documents will be valid even to effect a transaction. But the last lashon is hecha the lekol herman demalka. That's talking about they didn't have the authority of the king. That the Rashba says is the main shot. And then he brings a raya that Din the Machus should apply in all cases, even something that isn't a direct benefit to the king. He brings a raya, brings a couple of rayas from Cheskel Zabat, and we'll have one over here. The Gemara Baba Basra and Nehem and Allah said like this: Amar Rabba. Rabba said, Hani Tzlas Mili, Ishtoili, Ikvin, Bar Nechemia, Reis Gelusa, Mishmei Dushmua. Ukvin, Bar Nechemia, the Reis Gelusa told me these three halachas in the name of Shmua. Number one is Din the Machus Adina. Right, that's Shmuel we saw all the time. He says, Dina Mechusa Dina. Number two, Arisusa de Parsoi Anem Shonim. A Chazaka, the Persians, doesn't work until it's 40 years. By us, we say 3 years makes a Chazaka. But the Persians, they don't have a Chazaka for 40 years. And the third one is Hani Zuri de Zavin Arla Taska, if some wealthy heir acquired land for a property tax, Vino Zvini, that's a good acquisition that we don't need. The second halacha though, that the chazaka of a Persian in Persia, a chazaka takes 40 years. That's something that Shmuel Paskin calls the Dinu de Machusa, right? Some even say that the Dinu de Machusa is just a hagdama to three other halachas, but the way we have it is Dinu de Machusa Dina is number one, and number two is a example of Dinu de Machusa Dina, that a chazaka to prove that you have the land, it takes 40 years in Persia. So the Rashba says, what's the king gain by if it's Chazakah's 40 years or 39 years, 35 years? He doesn't get anything from that. He doesn't have any benefit from that halacha, from that law. But still, the Gemara Baba Basra says that's included in Dina de Mechusa Dina. Dina Mechusa Dina doesn't apply only to what the king has direct benefit from. It applies to something that the king, the pashtus, institutes for the good of his country. He makes laws that there shouldn't be chaos in the country, and he says, well, how long will it be a chazaka? Well, I think it should be 40 years. So that is binding in halacha also, the Rashba says. So this is a machlokas, the Magen Mishnah, and the Rashba, and other Rishonim on each side, how far Dina Mechusa Dina goes. According to the Magen Mishnah, we learn from the Sugya Gittin that it only is things that directly benefit the king. Anything else is chikyut deinoshin. Anything that affects the transaction won't be included in this rule of dinah de mechusa dinah. According to the Rashba, it's all encompassing. Even things that don't help benefit the king are included in dinah de mechusa dinah. The Ramah says like this in Shin Samech Tes Sivches Yeshamrim. Some say the Dina Mechusa Dina only applies by taxes that affect land, because the king decrees, I don't want you in my land. Unless you keep the rules, unless you pay a tax. It doesn't apply in anything else. It's not exactly the shita that we've been talking about. This is making a chiluk between karka and non-real estate, but it's as far as are similar. The Ramah says, Yeshamim, that it only applies to land where the king says, you have no right to be in my land unless you follow the rules. You can't come to my amusement park, you can't come to my museum unless you pay. I have a right to stop you. But then the Rama says, the Yeshamim, others say, Yisfirlu Damina Bechol Dover Dina Mechus Adina. We say in all matters, Dina Mechus Adina. Therefore, he gives an example, Amava Al Mashkon, Yochel Amachu Achar Shana. If he lent money on a Mashkon, and it's a year's gone by, and he hasn't gotten paid, he can sell the Mashkon at that point, Hola Vechain Dina Mechusa, since it's Dina Mechusa Vechain Hu Iker. The Rama says the second shot is the Iker, that's where we hold. The Dina Mechusa isn't limited to things that benefit the king or just to land. It's all-encompassing. Dina Mechusa applies to any rules that the king make, we'll see in a second, for the benefit of the society. Now, there's a second issue, how far that goes. So we'll assume that this is the way the Rama says, most Poskim say, that Dina Mechusa isn't limited just to taxes that directly benefit the king and not to land where he can say, you're all my land, I don't want you here if you don't pay for it. We hold applies by across the board by anything that affects the society of the king, the government. However, what happens if there's a din Torah that is in opposition to that halacha, to that din Mechusa? According to the din Mechusa, one halacha, one law would come out, but according to din Torah, a different law would come out. According to din of the Mechusa, if someone declares bankruptcy, there's a law in the books that he doesn't have to pay off any of his creditors. And according to din Torah, we don't have such halacha. The halacha is if you don't have any money, so what you do is, we learned about the Siddur or Misadrin to see how much he has. We leave by him and the rest he has to sell off. And even once he sells off, that doesn't mean that he's potter. That means that whenever he gets money, whether it's in a month, a year, or 10 years, or 20 years, he still has that chov, and he has to pay it off. Right? So that's what Din Torah says. Din Torah says you have to pay off a debt no matter what. Din de Mechusa says that we want to give people a second chance, and you can wipe off all your debts, so you'll have the ability to have a second chance and not have people bother you for the rest of your life, and you can start a new business. So what do we do in a case like that? The Rama says like this. The Rama says, actually first the Ma'arik, he's basing it on the Ma'arik. The Ma'arik says, Afila mandamer dina mechusa dina bechol devarim. Even according to the Rishonim, that whole dina mechusa applies in all halachas, not just taxes that come to the king directly to his benefit. That's only things that have to do with the malchus. But anything between one man and his fellow man, pshita upshita, to low. It's certainly pashit that din malchus doesn't apply there. Why? Because then throw away chosh and mishpat. Whenever you have any shayla between Reuven and Shimon, let them go see what the secular law is, and then that's what they'll decide. You'll never have dinei Torah anymore. That's what the Ma'arik says. Even according to the one that says it's across the board, but it can't be when you're talking about a disagreement between two individuals, secular law has no play over there. The Rama paskins this, but in a little bit of a funny way. The Rama in Sif Yud Aleph says like this, Hanosi Isha B'mokam Shadonin B'dinei Akum. If a person married a woman in a place where they have secular law, Umesa Ishto, and his wife died, Ein Yecholim Yorsheh Halomar, her Yarshim can't say, Kol Hanosi Isha Adas HaMinuk Hunosei. Well, there's a Minuk HaMokam here from Dinei Mechusa, so let them say, well, when you got married to her, you knew what the Minuk was, that according to Dinei Akum, her heirs get her property and not the husband, like Dinei Torah says. Right? According to Dinei Torah, if a wife dies, the husband becomes inherits all the property. In a secular law in that place, if a wife dies, her children from a previous marriage, they get all the property and the husband doesn't get anything. So the Rama says, those children can't tell the husband, well, when you married her, you knew what the secular law was. So therefore, we should judge it according to Dinei Akum. If she dies, the husband shouldn't get the Yerusha. So the Rama says, you don't say that. There's no Dinei Mechusa Dinei here. Why? The only time we say Dinei Mechusa is only Ela B'Dover Sheyesh Bo Hanoah L'Melech. Number one, something that there's a benefit to the king, like everyone holds that. If you don't hold that it's limited to taxes, the second condition is that it's something that is going to help the benefit of the Medina. It's something social law. It's that if there's a red light, you're supposed to stop. Because if we didn't say red lights, you stop. If green stops, you go. Everyone would crash into each other. There has to be some takana for the people in the Medina to help the society run. That's where Dinah Mechusa applies. So the law means Dinah Mechusa Ela B'Darashis B'Anolas Melech O Shu Takanas B'Nei Medina Avolo Sheyaduna B'Dinei Akum. But not that every time two people have a fight they'll decide what the secular law says. D'in Kei B'Datal Kol Dinei Yisrael, he says from the Marik Yibin Revatal Kol Dinei Yisrael. Now that sounds pretty strong, but the Shach doesn't like the way the Ramah says it. The Shach and Siman Ayin Gimel, there the Ramah says even worse, even according to the Shach. But the Shach says, from this Ramah, it's mashma, that if it would be something that is Takonas HaMedina, even though it's going to negate what the Halacha would be, so then we would follow the Din of the Mechusa. The Ramah only said, in this case, what do we care about between the two people over here? What's the king care about that? Who gets this property? But if it'll be something that the king did care about, it's something that helps the society, like speeding laws or other areas where it would make a difference, like bankruptcy, right? Bankruptcy is for the good of the Medina. They want people to be able to not be penniless forever, that everything, they make something, they'll get, their creditors will come to them, they'll decide they don't want to work even. So therefore they made a law for the Takana, the Medina, that you should have the right to declare bankruptcy and not have to pay your creditors. So that's the Takana of Medina. So the Shach says, according to the Ramah, it's Masha, that in that case, you would say Din of the Mechusa. But the Shach says you can't say that, because whenever there's a Din Torah connected, like the Ramah himself said, even if it's something that's takonis b'nei Medina, we don't say dino demachusa dino connected or Din Torah. The Shach goes stronger in the Ramah and says that bottom line is you never go connected Din Torah when you have a fight between Reuven and Shimon. They can never, it's never paskin by dino demachusa. You paskin everything by Din Torah. That's what all Shulchan Aruch is about. Choshen Mishpat's about. Fights between Reuven, disagreements between Reuven and Shimon, you're passing through Dinei Torah and not through Dinei Damachusa. And that's the conclusion of the Shach. He has a kasha on there, a stronger kasha on the Ramah in Siman Ayin Gimel, and even in Shin Samach Tes, he tries to find a pshat, but the pasha of the Ramah there's also shver. That's the psak of the Shach, that Dinei Damachusa doesn't apply where it's going to go, where it's going to contradict Dinei Torah. And therefore, like we said, if someone declares bankruptcy, if it's a corporation, there's reasons why it should work, because when you do business with a corporation, you know that the corporation, by definition, has limited liability, and it's only the assets of the corporation are, you only have a lien on the assets of the corporation, not on the person. That's, you knew that when you started dealing with that business, that was the deal. But if you're dealing with an individual, in halacha, there's no such thing as a person being able to say, look, I'm part of, you can get the such a thing as being sold as a slave, there are things that you have to pay. We spoke whether you're mechayev to work to pay off your debt, that could be a shy, maybe you're not mechayev to work. But as soon as you have money, however you get that money, you have a chov, you have a debt, which you're chayev to pay. There's no hafkos halva by Yisrael. You have to pay your debt. And even though you declared bankruptcy and to get rid of certain debtors, certain creditors, and it worked for the Akum maybe, but if you have debtors who are Yisraelim, creditors who are Yisraelim, your bankruptcy won't help, even though it's a takana sa medina. But it's going against the Dina Damachusa, it's going against the Din Torah, and the Din Torah always supersedes Dina Damachusa. We don't lose our Din Torah based on that. So that's the Pashat Svara. Now, things that aren't between Reuven and Shimon, things that have to do with just the government, like traffic laws, different customs, and going from state to state, or different things like that, which are to smoking, they say you can't smoke unless you're 18, you can't drink unless you're 18, or whatever, those types of laws for the benefit of society. So those should apply, because even though the king doesn't really care if all his people end up getting drunk and killing each other. But if he wants to have a good society, he doesn't want people getting drunk when they shouldn't get drunk. And therefore he says, either not be 18, and or in the times of abolition, don't drink at all. So that would be a takanas medina. So according to most of the poskim, the way the Ramah is machriya, even the Shach would agree that in that case, in the mechus medina would apply. If it's between Reuven and Shimon, where they're having an argument, a disagreement, and do you owe me money, do you not owe me money? So there's not even if it's a takanas medina, but you don't supersede din Torah to take money away from one person and give to the other one when the Torah halacha says differently. That's the way the Shach poskets. Second half, I'd like to talk about where it applies. The first issue is, should it apply in a democracy like America? Din Menachus Adina, we're saying the Svaras were, I'm the king, I own the land, and I'm telling you, I don't want you to stay in my land unless you keep my laws. Unless you keep the taxes. If you don't pay the taxes, then certainly you know right here you're trespassing in my property. And even the laws that are for the good of society, I only want you here if you keep the rules that are good for the society. Maybe that only applies if I really own the land, but if I get elected by 30% of the people of the population who decided, 50% who decided to vote, which is 30% of the total, and then after a couple of years no one likes you anyway, and you make a law, and in 2 years you'll be voted out, and you know, now you say everyone has to do something like do, or even the Congress passes a law, they pass a tax law. So what should, do you have to follow that? Does Din HaMechusa apply where it's a democracy? So Badner brings from Rav Henkin that according to all the reasons, the Rashbam's reason, the Ran's reason, Rabbeinu Yonah, Din HaMechusa applies even in a democracy. Because even though he's not going to be president for long, even though Congress could change the law, but right now, according to the Rashbam, we're saying people accept on themselves the minig, they're accustomed to accept din and mechusa. So people accept it. If they're a democracy or if there's a tyrannical dictatorship, either way, they accept the laws. The people accept the fact that there has to be some system, and they accept the laws, and that's the Rashbam's story. Din HaMechusa Dina helps because the people know that for there to be a viable society, someone has to be able to make laws over here. So according to him, it applies. According to the Ran, the Ran says he owns the land. Okay, so the king, the president doesn't own the land, the Congress doesn't own the land, but the government to some extent has eminent domain, and they do have the right of evicting people for a good purpose. They have a right to take over the land if there's a war that they're in charge. So they also can say, we want you to keep these rules if you want to stay here. And according to Rabbeinu Yonah, if the whole thing comes from Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, well, the Bezdin has the right. Three people can sit down and say that this person's money is Hefker through that authority. So the people in Congress and the executive branch certainly have that much authority, and they're also, their rules will help, like Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. That's the way Rav Henkin concludes. Rav Yosef and Rav Shlis also say the same thing. Pisach Choshen brings a raya from the Rambam. The Rambam's Lashon Hilchos Gezeila is like this. He says, when do we say Dinah Malchusa Dinah applies? That's a king whose fame has gone out in those lands where he's in charge. Because the people in that land agreed upon him. And they relied on him to be their master. And they will be his subjects. That's the lesson of the Rambam. So it's almost like democracy. They agreed. He wasn't democracy. He's a king. But he's saying, why does it work? Because the people are happy that he's their king. They're willing to be his subjects. And that's why Din HaMechusa works. So Tizchei Choshen says the same thing will be if it's a democracy. That's even more so. The fact that they voted him in, they're happy that he's the king. And they're the subjects. And even if your man lost, but you're still happy that you're in a democracy and someone's president. You want someone to be there. You want someone to be in Congress, I guess. And therefore, Din HaMechusa applies even in a democracy. The part that's a subject of contention is, how about in Eretz Yisrael? Does Din HaMechusa Dina apply in Eretz Yisrael? Let's read the Ran again with the part that we left out before. The Ran says like this, Kosu betosus. The dafka b'machi of the kachavim amar didinda mechusa dina. It's only by kings who are akums we say dinda mechusa dina. Vimnesha aret shalo, because he owns the land, and like we said there on before, and he could say, if you don't keep my mitzvahs, you don't keep my laws, I'm going to chase you out. Alba b'machi Yisrael, but if it's a melech Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, lo, dinah mechusa doesn't apply there. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, there's no one in charge. No one, the king doesn't own the land over there. Everyone has a portion of Eretz Yisrael. Everyone owns Eretz. We're all partners in Eretz Yisrael. It's our land given to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're all partners here. And no one has a right to tell me what to do in Eretz Yisrael. This is my land as much as your land. So the Ran Paskins Lemaisa, and he says the words that in Eretz Yisrael, Dina Mechusa, Dina doesn't apply. And through that, that's why they don't have it anymore. But when there used to be a black market to exchange money, not through the regular system, people said that, well, according to the Ran, Dina Mechusa, Dina doesn't apply, and that's why it should be permitted, even though that in America that would be illegal, because that's something that's for Takanas HaMelech, and it's not between Reuven and Shimon over there. It's something that the king says, I don't want you bypassing my system, I don't want you counterfeiting money, I don't want you having any black markets over here. It would be not permitted in Chutz La'aretz. But in Eretz Yisrael, the Ran says that the rules of Dina Mechusa don't apply. Everyone can do what they want. Now, Rav Avadya Yosef doesn't like that. You have the sefer over there in the Yichav Adas. He says, the Rambam said a Lashon. We saw last week, the Rambam says, Dina Mechusa applies, Bein Shehu Melech Yisrael, Bein Shehu Melech Goy. It doesn't make a difference whether it's a Yisrael or an Akum. Dina Mechusa didn't apply. And the Rambam said, even though he's a Melech Yisrael, Dina Mechusa didn't apply. So, even though the Ran says it doesn't apply to a Melech Yisrael, but the Rambam says it does apply to a Melech Yisrael. So Rav Yosef is a long tshuva, and he concludes that Dinah Mechusa Dinah applies in Eretz Yisrael. He brings other poskim in Eretz Yisrael that it applies there also. The Darkei Choshen, this contemporary sefer we have, says a good taina. He doesn't go to. We're not going through the whole shul of Rav Avadya Yosef's, but in this prat, where he brings from the Rambam, Bein Shehu Melech Yisrael, he has two good tainas against that raya. First of all, when the Rambam says, Bein Shehu Melech Yisrael, Bein Shehu Melech Goy, maybe he's talking in Chutz La'aretz. Suppose a Jew gets elected president in the United States. So it doesn't make a difference if he's a Jew or an Akum. Either way, you have to listen to what he says, because he is in charge of the country now, and you have to listen to what he says. But if he be an Eretz Yisrael, so there, Dinah Mechusa doesn't apply, even according to the Rambam, because of the Ran Svara, that no one owns the land, no one else owns land. By the way, according to the other Svaras that we said in the beginning, there'd be no difference between Eretz Yisrael and the other one. So according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, is it didn't Hefker Bezen Hefker, so whoever has authority, they have a right to be makir someone's money. And according to the Rashbam, it's the people who accept upon themselves the rules of the government. So it could be, according to him, it would apply also. The Rambam says it wouldn't, but Pash is the way you read the Rashbam, it would apply. But anyway, that's where the Darkei Choshen says, number one, from the Rambam saying the word Melech Yisrael is no raya, because maybe he's talking in Chutz La'aretz. And number two, even if it's true that you have to listen to what a Melech Yisrael says, that's not for the same reason as for a Melech Akum. By an Akum, you have to listen to the Melech Yisrael, you know, that's because he's in charge and he owns the land, he conquered it, and you know, if you don't listen to him, he'll kick you out. A Melech Yisrael, there's another reason to listen to a Melech Yisrael, that's because there's a parsha called Melachim. There's Hilchos Melachim, there's Jewish laws of listening to a Melech. So the Rambam could say that whether it's a Melech Yisrael, which you have to listen to him because you have to follow the rules of the Torah that says listen to what the Melech says, Bein Shehu Melech Akum, which you have to listen to him because of the Dinah Melchus Adin, or either way you have to listen to what the king says. So he says there's no raya from the Rambam that the Rambam disagrees with the Ran. The Pesach Choshen wants to say another svara why it might apply in Eretz Yisrael. That svara that we said, that he said that it applies in a democracy, because once the people choose them, So that's like Lashon of the Rambam, that anyone that was accepted by them from the people of that country, they accept upon themselves to follow his laws. So once in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, the elections are held through a democracy, so that will be a reason, dafka, to follow the rules of the government, because they were elected by the people, and the robe of the people wanted them. But then he says, on the other hand, it could be since they don't follow the Dinei Torah, and they go connected to the Dinei Torah, so maybe you don't have to. So anyway, that's a machlokus. If you happen to be in Eretz Yisrael, you should ask a shayla. But the issues of whether Dinei Mechusa didn't apply there or not are based on the svaras of why Dinei Mechusa didn't apply at all. The different yukim we have from the Rambam, do we say it's like democracy makes it better, doesn't make it worse? These are the svaras that apply over there, and you should ask a shayla. So, just reviewing, we've seen that Dinei Mechusa Dino, that last week we said that they have the right to make taxes. That's pashut. Everyone agrees that a king has the right to make taxes because that's for his good, and anything that's for his good, he says, you want to stay in my land, this is the rules, you have to keep the rules, and that's my price. Does it apply in other areas that don't that the king doesn't get to benefit from? So there we saw was the machlokis Rishonim based on how to learn the Gemara in Gittin, where the Gemara in Gittin said that Dinei Mechusa Dino does not apply to documents that effect transactions. Why not? Why don't we say Dinei Mechusa Dino? So according to Rov Rishonim, it's because it just happened to be that they didn't have authority there. But Ein Alchinami Dinei Mechusa Dino applies to any halachas, therefore the Takana of the Medina, any laws that help out the society, those also have the strength of a Dinei Mechusa Dino, where we have to follow them, because that's their prerogative, that's the right of the king to set up a society which is safe for everyone and fair for everyone, and people don't get in each other's way. That's the Dinei Mechusa Dino that applies as a Takana of the Malchus. However, we saw that if it's between two people, between two individuals, there's a dispute whether he should have to pay him. He damaged him according to Dinei Mechusa, he has to pay according to Din Torah, he doesn't have to pay. Or a bankruptcy where according to, there's a special law, loophole that you don't have to pay, you get out of your debts. But according to Din Torah, there's no such halacha. So in that case, where there's a steer between Dinei Torah and the Dinei the Mechusa, so the Ramah seems to have a mashmos that Dinei Mechusa would apply as long as the Takana, the Malchus, the Shachna disagree. The Shach says that Dinei Mechusa can never override a Din Torah. A Din Torah is superior to anything between Reuben and Shimon, because the king doesn't really care about what's happening between Reuben and Shimon. That's their own business. We saw Dinei Mechusa definitely applies in a democracy. That I didn't see anyone that say it didn't, even though there might have been a svar or not to. In Eretz Yisrael, the Ran says clearly it doesn't. It's machlokes haposkim, whether everyone agrees with the Ran or not.